Well, it's good to see everyone here this afternoon. I'm glad we were able to come together as a team. You know, we don't really think about it very much, but that's some really good teamwork back there. So I think I thought it was very impressive, and I was made a small comment about it, that you see how good we did back there. Just think if we would apply Adam's sermon from this morning and what great things we could possibly do. See, you don't ever know until you try. And so sometimes we just kind of have to take a little small step in a direction and see, because we can come up with a lot of ideas, but eventually, you know, us several years ago when we just said, you know what, we're going to do this, we're going to commit ourselves to it, and just we've done it. I don't know how many years it's been now, but I think over 10. Well, we've been doing this since I was in high school. I think we've been doing the cards and or something to some for the nursing home. So that's pretty awesome. Well, if I have the mind this afternoon, I've been kind of looking at the last two verses of where I kind of didn't, or last three verses, excuse me, that in James chapter 5. And the next three verses in James chapter 5 speak in addition to this man who is laying up riches for himself here on the earth. And in thinking about these next three verses, I've been kind of stuck because last weekend I was able to visit with those that were at Vestavia. And me and Brother Sam had a wonderful conversation, me and Brother Sam and Brother Ed Long. And just a lot of these things this time of year, thinking about Christmas, thinking about Black Friday, some of the things that we see, you know, Black Friday, you see it all over the news. It's probably one of my favorite news days because I want to see who got stabbed over television, who slapped a child. It's just amazing the stuff that you find out, and it's over the silliest little things that you could have even imagined. And I think about us being indulgent. We are a society of indulgence, and where we just keep heaping up. We just need more and more and more. And for those that were at at Liberty on Thursday, you heard me make a statement that the Rockefeller. I don't remember which one it was, but one of their family members made a statement one time, became pretty famous. They asked the man, you know, how much more money would you need just in order to feel safe? And he always, the famous reply is just a little more. We could probably always say that. We always probably think, I'd give to apply Brother Adam's sermon. Well, I'd give to the church if I just had a little more instead of cutting out what you already have. And so sometimes we have to, again, do what, as Brother Charles mentioned this morning, we've got to change our thinking, folks. Sometimes the way we think is just some completely backwards from what the Word of God says. And I think I've been saying that for several years now. We've got to change the way we think and how we see things. But let's go ahead and read. I'm going to go back and read a few of these verses, and we're going to get to the next three in the line here, because I feel like there's a lot of things I could say about it. But it says, Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. That I think that's a promise that we need to be aware of, that if we do these things, James is warning us. James is going ahead and saying, you're going to be very, very miserable if you heap to yourselves treasures and be indulgent in things that you shouldn't be indulging in. And here he says, howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. I think about many famous people out there and how they're so miserable at times with certain things, or how they have been indulgent, yet they're still very miserable people. I think about Michael Jordan. I think he has left Chicago, hadn't played for the Bulls in I don't know how many years. His house is still on the market, by the way, in Chicago. Some multi-million dollar mansion there, the basketball court and all the whistles and bells. Yet he still can't get rid of it. And he's heaped to it. I mean, that's just, you know, debt on his, I guess, book, on his book. And he can't get rid of it. And I could probably go down the line of other several either major league players or rich folks that heap to themselves these types of treasures. And it says, your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were a fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Now, in the very next few phrases or verses here, it kind of really hits home, because I don't really think I've ever taken time to really think about it in the way I thought about it over the last few days. But it says, behold the hire of the laborers. In other words, I want you to look at the wages that your laborers are making. I want you to really focus on what they are doing and all the work they do. I want you to focus just on their wages. And he says, who have reaped down your field. So, you know, if you're ever in a place of, in a situation where you're a master and you have servants, and they do work for you, you need to be very mindful of the wages that you pay them for the labors that they do. It says, which is of you kept back by fraud? In other words, they refuse to pay you what you're due because they've kept it back from you because they just need a little more, if I can say it that way. And I'm not saying, folks, that you need to go out there and get all mad because you're not getting paid very well. That's not the message here. The message is to those people that are in that position that are keeping it back from you. And he says, because the Lord actually calls you something, or James actually calls us on the receiving end something very special here in a minute. So I want y'all to focus on this. He says, reap down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, which you've refused to give to the people that are working for you. It crieth. It's crying. The cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. In other words, the Lord is seeing exactly what you're doing. They're crying. Why are they crying? Because they've worked and they've worked and they've worked and they seem to not be able to get ahead. They seem to, they're not getting what is owed to them or what they deserve for the labors that they put in to reap down your fields, to bring in your profit, to sell your product. You've not done this. How much is the, now I want you to think on, you know, we can think about it from the big master standpoint to those who maybe work in a place of where they have a skill or a labor craft, or they work in a field like a farm or something like that. We can think, but I want us to, again, turn our thinking back to us now. How has the Lord blessed you and me, and we have refused to give it to the people that are really in need of? This is tied into Brother Adam's sermon to this morning, what he spoke out of in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 about money. When have you and I been in places or have had opportunities to do something for others and we turn our back on them? The cries of those people, the Lord hears those cries. In other words, the Lord is seeing what you're doing. When somebody has come in the door or come to you, whether it's on the sidewalk or the street, and you don't help them out or do whatever you can to help it, they're crying who are in really need. Again, I understand we can. There's always that double standard of, well, are they going to use are they going to misuse the help that we provide them? I want you all to remove that type of thinking from your minds. The Lord just told you to help, not to sit there and be a judge over that person. That's where we get our thinking messed up. See, this applies not only to those big masters that may keep wages from the laborers, the people that work or whatever, that are in big high corporations and CEOs and those types of things. Yeah, it's very easy for us to get focused on that, but I want us to focus on us today. When people have come to us that have helped us out, done something for us, and we don't return the favor to them, he says, their cries the Lord hears. He says, and ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanting. In other words, you've been living and you're indulgent. Now, I want you to sit here and really do this for me for a second. I want y'all, one of my favorite things to do is to use God's word and then for us to think about it. And when we go home, when we walk through our doors, we find a place that we can actually say, this is what God's word's telling me today. So when you go home, I want you to do this for me. Walk into your house and find something in your house you know you really just don't need. And you could probably classify yourself as indulgent. I had a very good opportunity. I had a steal of a deal. My wife's going to laugh at me because she knows what I'm about to probably talk about. She's already grinning. A 55-inch television screen. It was so brilliant. It was a 4K, by the way. 240 refresh rate. I'm telling you, it was so beautiful. And I'm at the Alabama Power Appliance Center, and the salesman's really getting me. He's really getting me. Getting me stirred up. I want to buy it. He says, no interest for 12 months. I'm like, oh, 55 inches. It's like, it was like 60% off. The reason they were getting rid of it, just to give you the backstory, is because they were no longer partnered with this manufacturer, LG or whatever. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, you can take your discount on it. It's only $70 a month for 12 months. I'm like, That's still, you would never find a TV that was that new, that good looking at 65% off at the retail price. So I called my wife. I was like, hey, baby, this might be the only opportunity we get to get this thing. Okay? And I'm selling it hard. But see, she reminded me, she says, honey, but I know you want it. And there, you maybe ought to, because you'll never get this opportunity again. I'm like, I know. I really want it. But we didn't need it. We didn't need it. I already have a 46-inch television. It's fine. It does fine. It does, and there's no reason for me to have it other than I wanted it. Okay? So we have to be very careful about those types of things when we talk about our needs and our wants in our houses. There's a lot of other things in our house that I probably really wanted. Like, before I got married, I made sure that I went and bought some golf clubs because I knew I didn't need them, but I really wanted them, and I knew I wouldn't get a chance if I didn't do it then. So I'm already indulgent in certain things. I just needed one extra gun, or I just needed... And I had a completely functional laptop, and I went out and bought an iPad. That's completely nuts. I don't know why. I've not hardly used my laptop probably in 2 years because I have the iPad. I didn't need it. I was just indulgent. And why are you saying why are you telling us all about your personal indulgence? Well, confession's good, you know? And I'm trying to help you think about maybe you yourself have been indulgent in places. Because if we don't think about it, we'll never change our thinking. We'll never start thinking about God's word the way we should. And that's why we have to kind of change it. So he says, you've lived in pleasure on the earth, and you've been wanting. You've nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. In other words, you have filled yourself up. You're like that fatted calf that we just fatten and fatten and fatten and fatten up before it goes to the slaughter. You're just getting, you're Chris Christie, right? You know, at the point in time, sorry if you know him, he's a pretty heavy set person. But you've just filled yourself up that you're ready for slaughter. Do you know what one of the words that is in the Bible that describes indulgence, of irregular indulgence, things that you don't really need? It's a word that Adam should know because he's the one who taught me how to say it, because I didn't know how to say it first, but it's called lasciviousness. Did you know that in parts of the Bible where lasciviousness is meant, it's not meant in a very good way by the Apostle Paul? And so if you turn over to, we're going to turn to a couple of places. Maybe we do a few things. Let's start with, we'll go to Ephesians chapter 4 to start. Ephesians chapter 4, you should recognize this section of text because it talks about putting off it's the purpose of the gifts, but then also putting off the old man and putting on the new man. So I want you to listen to the words and the phrasing that he uses here to start verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. The idea that we are in this text of putting off this old man and putting on the new, what we've got to actually do is we've got to actually start. We don't need to be walking as these other Gentiles walk. Just because somebody else has something, that's another type of covetousness. That lasciviousness is a little bit tied to it in a way. But it says, we don't want you to walk as these other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. The fact that when people tell you, oh, you need this. Think about advertisement. Even Sonny Piles mentioned, I will never forget this phrase, but he said, the purpose of advertisement is to create dissatisfaction to you, the child of God. He said that in a sermon he preached here in 2005, that advertisement is the purpose of creating that dissatisfaction. And so what do? The vanity of those other Gentiles' minds comes through advertisement. It comes from, oh, my neighbor got a new car, so I need a new car. Oh, my neighbor has it. And again, it's a type of covetousness and lasciviousness kind of pair very well together of we are indulgent because we see other things that other people have and we create in our minds that we have to have it or we have to have that lifestyle. You know, the home theater boom did not even come about until MTV Cribs made it a big thing. Did anybody notice that? Anybody but me? Having the big, all these, the home theater system, and yes, I want to go ahead and just more confession. I have surround sound in my house, and I've had it ever since 2010. And Sammy let me wire the speakers up. I'll never probably get another surround sound system, but that's, again, the home theater in mentality came through Cribs, and everybody's like, oh, I want that, or I want that. What do you think? How did you think the wasted, what was that big boom that happened when I was in high school? Oh, spinning rims. Spinning rims. $2,000 for a set of four rims. And to quote a comedian, I'm not going to mention his name, but he said, did you know from the inside of your car, you can't even see the flashiness or those rims are spinning? You can't do it, can you? I mean, so here, I want you to see how other people, the vanity in their minds that they create can have an impact on you, the child of God. Here, the commandment by Paul is, don't walk after that way. Don't walk after those Gentiles. Having their understanding, or having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Think, I love the terminology and the phrasing that is used here. And it gets me excited because when I really step back and think about these other people, he says they don't have any understanding. And not only that, they're ignorant. Why are they ignorant? Because they don't have the Word of God in them. They don't have the truth of God's Word with them. You sit there and look at them and, you know, you want to be like them. With everything, you know, you saw MTV Cribs, you saw these things, you saw them and you wanted to be like them. But the Apostle Paul says they're ignorant. They don't know anything. They have no understanding. They don't have God in their hearts because of the blindness of their heart. Maybe it's through a blindness that the Lord has put over them. Who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so, that ye be so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. See, lasciviousness can occur through our indulgence. That's how we, over in James, the last verse I did not quite get to. I meant to read the last one there. See if I can grab it real quick. He says, ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. You know what that verse really means? The just in that phrase are the people, and for us, it's the poor people who we don't help. From the CEOs and the bosses and the masters over those fields, it's the laborers and the hires. The Lord Jesus is calling those people just that you have just ran over. And not only that, he says, that person you just ran over, he doesn't even resist you. He doesn't even fight back against you. You're just doing it because you can do it. I want you to think about the last time that you probably turned your back on somebody, or that you didn't help and could have helped or should have helped. You know, sometimes when people come up to it and ask us for help, I know immediately we don't always have an answer for the person. We sometimes don't have the very thing they need, but we are skilled folks. I saw a very, you know, good example of that just a little while ago. We know people and can find people to help people out. And that way we can put aside some of our lasciviousness, some of our indulgence, to help those people out. Over in Mark chapter 7, I believe it is another example of this, of where we need to be putting off the old man. Here in Matthew chapter 7, the Apostle Paul is... Here, Mark has recorded for us that Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. This is also can be found over in Matthew chapter 15, one of my favorite sections of Scriptures. But here he's talking about how the things that you take in is not what defiles you. It's actually what comes out of your body that is defiling you. It's the way you treat people. It's what comes from your heart, if I can say it that way. The actions that you, the things that you do, the things you put into action, the things that come from the heart. It's not about the food that comes in. This indulgence is not about what you're taking in. It's indulgence can even also be through your actions and what you don't. I mean, I think about our time. Our time. We always talk about how time is so precious. Well, I tell you, sometimes we can be too indulgent in our time, and we need to make time for other folks, because we can all get selfish in those types of things. So here he talks about in this parable, he talks to the Pharisees. The Pharisees are, I don't know, how should I say this? They're going after the traditions of men. They're teaching the traditions and the commandments of men. Matthew 15 also records for us that they serve me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So he goes on to tell them a parable, verse 18, and he saith unto them, well, verse 17, and when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, Are ye so without understanding? And the parable was again about how not the things that come out of man. It's not the things that you take in that defiles a man, but it's the things that come out. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. He says, verse 18, are ye so without understanding also? In other words, does it not make sense to you? Does it not make sense to you that what your actions and what the things that you say have an impact and define who you are? They're a witness of you. And so he says, do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, and all these evil things come from within that defileth or defile the man. The reason I wanted to bring you over here to this section of scriptures is that I wanted you to see what this indulgence actually is listed next to. Thefts, wicked ear, an evil eye, pride and foolishness. It's all in there together. And Jesus says all of these things are evil and they defile a man. So sometimes our indulgence, we have to be very mindful. I need to be mindful. This is just as much for me as it is for the rest of you here. We need to be careful of how indulgent we really are. And it's also, we are called of God to be putting off those types of things. Because if we cloud our mind with all those things, I'll just say it takes away our time that we should be serving God and serving His people. Indulgence. My time. Let's take it back to a little bit of things about my time. So many times there are opportunities there for us to go visit people that are in the hospital, and also times where we should be visiting other churches. I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but I just want us to make a note of something. Over the last several meetings, not talking about the one in November, I'm talking about over the last maybe 2 years, our meeting's been kind of thin here in April and other times. And it's because one of the things we ought to do is we ought to go visit our brothers and sisters at our neighboring churches when they have opportunities. But too many times we get indulgent. Saturday football is more important. Or, hanging out with friends is more important. Or, I just wanted to be lazy and sleep in. Those are still types of things where you're indulging in things. Did you know, there have been studies, you can get too much rest because you're lazy. Or because you sleep in and are just constantly sleeping. So again, it's another type of indulgence. Probably where we get the phrase, everything in moderation, Take upon things, everything in moderation. And I really do believe that means everything. You need to be mindful of the things that you are indulging in. I think about that the parable that we read, I'm going to read the parable over in Luke chapter 12, I believe it is, because I like it and I wanted to kind of end with this and thinking about how we can be indulgent in certain things. And it's just a really good parent. And I know some of y'all have heard me read this recently. I just want to read it real quick again. Verse 15, it said, well, verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, of Luke chapter 12, verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, and that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and be aware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. In other words, that your life should not be centered or focused around this covetousness, lasciviousness, this indulgence of things, of material possessions. And I'm going to even say your time, even the thing that I've tried to incorporate also a little bit, being too indulgent or coveting your time too much. And he says, he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruit. So what did he do? He tears down one barn. He makes a bigger barn. And he says, my soul has much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God came to him and says, Tonight your soul is going to be required of you. And the reason I mention this is because the more and more I've thought about driving 60, and I have a lot of interesting thoughts driving in the morning in crazy Birmingham traffic, and even thinking about my wife's wreck just a few months ago, and thankfully, she was not hurt, she was not harmed or anything. But tomorrow, your life can be required of you. My cousin is laying in a hospital right now in the NICU, and he probably didn't think the day before or that morning or just a few minutes before he got hit that I'm in a dangerous situation or that I'm going to be put in this spot. So what is the message here for you and me? You may not have many opportunities left to help somebody out or to be charitable. You may not have the opportunity. It may be too late because your life could be required of you tonight. It could be required for you on the way home today. And I pray that it's not by any means over any of y'all. But it's taken, we take Brother Ben. I love Brother Ben Winsley. Life's too short to not drive a fun car, right? You know what? Life's too short for us not to help out people when they need help. Yeah. Life's too short for me to be wasting, laying up treasures here, buying things I don't need, doing other things I don't need to be doing. He says, and this is where it rings home for me. Then who shall those things be? Those things that you've laid over, who's it going to be? That's going to be left behind for your families to fight over? Or it's going to just cause a problem, cause families to split? I could probably go down a huge list of things, of reasons why we shouldn't lay up for ourselves treasures on this earth or be indulgent in certain things. I just want us to think more about a little bit about how there in James, in the verses that I read, verse 1, that was where I was looking for. Go weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. If we're not careful and we don't sometimes change the way we think about things and putting off this old man and doing some of the things that we've done, we sit around and say, why am I so miserable? It was a promise of God that your indulgence and your not willingness or your willingness not to follow after what he's asked us to do. He said you were going to be miserable. So why are we so shocked when we find ourselves miserable? And I really just found that all very to be very interesting, helping us to think about some of those things. I love you all, and Lord bless you all.